Show, if you're just joining us, welcome to it. 9:08 here on a beauty Monday morning. We've got a great day ahead of us with lots of sunshine around 25 degrees. We're already up to 17 degrees. Nice warm morning. And this week looks, into the long weekend look at this point, really, really, really good. Warm temperatures. Thursday may be a bit iffy with some rain, which is never a bad thing. One day rain's okay. Long weekend looking sunny and hot at this stage. All right, still to come. Code word number 2 in our Sens Jersey Monday contest, so stand by for that. Want to give a shout-out to Stefan up in Beechburg, who's out on the tractor this morning. He's finishing planting a field of beans.
Oh, nice.
Did his corn. I think said he finished up his corn yesterday. He's got the beans going in today. So shout out to all the farmers there feeding us, getting everything planted in the ground, ready to go.
Yeah, maybe COVID times, Jaron. I know you got a bit of a farming background. One of the great conversations we had driving out to Riverside South the other day was, what are they planting and is this late? And I said, well, by mid-May to mid-October, it's 5 months. We need to look up online, which we never did. I have no idea when you plant corn and beans, but I guess we just answered it right there, right? Is that kind of the wheelhouse of it?
Well, I was Southwestern Ontario. It's a little bit milder there.
Oh, for sure,
But it was always in my recollection was always May 2-4 weekend was
May
the big
was?
One. We wanted
okay.
to get everything
okay.
in
okay.
May 2-4, so a week ahead of schedule, but we're also, I mean, you can look at the forecast and go, okay, well, there's no threat of any frost or anything, so let's get her in a week early. Never hurts. And they've also, things have adapted since way back in the day when I was back living on the farm with seeds, and everything has now been moved to where you can grow things in a little bit of a shorter
genetically
season.
Genetically altered.
Maybe some engineering, just a little bit underway, just a tiny, tiny bit.
For sure.
So, and a shout out to all the green thumbs that are like me out there on the weekend. Getting the gardens going or whatever, because, well, you can't do a whole heck of a lot else these days.
Yeah.
So, anyway, except carpool and have a few pops with your buds. That's what we can all do.
Yeah, one of the beautiful sights of the side of Mooney's Bay, JR. First of all, the families out celebrating, which I love getting together. It was just classic. And there were three of the little cars there, the city cars, not police cars, but the people that give out tickets. Yeah, bylaws. And you don't have to pay for parking right now at Mooney's Bay. So I assume they were cruising around. There were three fellas walking around with a massive bong, just walking around, just enjoying themselves. Mir and I were just howling. Like, you know, they're late, I'd say early 20s. And it's just like, that's the life right there. We probably don't live together. Or actually, maybe they do. And they're just bonging. You know, they're bonging all over the place. And Amir said, well, marijuana is legal, but I said, I don't think it's legal to smoke in a public park. So they're, and as they walked away, I said, they're off for pizza. They're off for a big feed right now.
Yeah.
They've been bonging
big
for a few hours.
Burritos.
Oh, they're, yeah, exactly. Max Milk is the next stop for sure.
Yeah. All right, 9-11. So the Sens season, of course, ended last week. We'll get to Pierre Dorion's comments on a couple of other issues coming up in just a second. But Belleville Senators, how about the B-Sens? Ending the season in style, they tied a franchise record yesterday with their seventh straight win, 6-1 over Manitoba.
Shaw dumps it in. Bishop after it on the forecheck. He centers it. Shot here, and they score! It's the first AHL goal for Romy Garventi. Off the feed from Clark Bishop as he slips it far post, and Garventi makes it 1-0 B-Sens.
That would be the first of two goals for the Finnish rookie on the afternoon. He also had an assist as well, so had three scoreless games to start his North American professional career, but yesterday got put on the power play and responded with a pair of goals.
Yeah.
Seems to be getting better every single game, so nice. That'll be not, you know, they still have two games to go, but nice for him to come over here, get a little bit of success. That always will feel pretty good going back to Finland for the offseason before returning to play a full year in Belleville next year.
Yeah, it really is, Sharon. You know, kind of, you look at some of the European players or college, but in the case of Lassie Thompson, come over, play in Kelowna, drafted, you go back, you play in Finland. Now you end up playing part of a year you finish. In the case of Järvenpää, as a teenager, instead of having to have him controlled by a Finnish team, you throw him in. And what's beautiful about what's happening right now in Belleville for Coach Mann that I love, doesn't appear that any, and I've only watched a couple, but a pick of that Marlies game a couple of weeks ago, you know, they didn't have much of a lineup, but tactically, the energy of the club, the way the kids were playing, and everybody they throw in the lineup, more importantly of young players from Sokolov to Thompson, the Casey Arvente, they all play and they all get better, JR, and that's what you love about development. So it's been a great job by him. I was really excited about his season-ending voice because I was a little concerned that he wasn't putting enough into it, and he was right there for where we expected, where he had nothing left. Man, he's done a good job, and I really hope something good, whether he stays here, JR, or I really think he's got to be on the radar of some NHL teams right now, either as a co-coach or at least get some interviews, because he's done a hell of a job in Belleville.
Here is Belleville Senators head coach Troy Mann about how much he's enjoyed this season.
You know, I think our team, you know, has certainly come into its own here in the last few weeks and season from a coaching perspective. You know, one of the most rewarding seasons of my coaching career, quite frankly, just because it's at the American Hockey League level, it's the youngest team I've coached. So, you know, that makes it even more special. And obviously we've got a real good young bunch of kids that want to learn.
There you go. There's a raspy-voiced Troy Mann, head coach of Belleville, after their latest win, their seventh in a row.
And, JR, just like players, if I'm Mr. Mann, I'm looking around, I'm looking down one way, and I'm saying, boy, Dominic Ducharme, nice junior coach. Now he's a head coach. I'm looking at Sheldon Keefe saying, hey, like Sheldon, Central Junior, OHL, AHL head coach. Look west to Green. Look at some of the other coaches are getting opportunities, even where Paul Maurice started out. And I think you start to say, hey, you know what? Just like players, when guys get called up, we'll say, okay, when's my chance? I've got to think. And it's not easy to be on the radar. And I know it's the American Hockey League and lots of guys haven't panned out. But as I said, it's been really impressive to watch him. And if that isn't the case, I hope that he's here in Ottawa long term, because that's gone hand in hand with the draft and the development has been second to none in the National Hockey League.
So lots of positives going on with Belleville right now. Mads Søgaard was back in net yesterday and got the win. So he's now 6-0 to start his professional career. They are getting lots of you know, as he said, we're playing lots of young players, and they're getting goals and points and good play from a lot of their young prospects. And then there's Logan Brown, and Logan Brown, of course, played the one game with Ottawa to finish the season last week, and was okay. Showed a little bit. Went down to Belleville, played in the game on Friday, and I know AJ put out there that that was his best game by far. And Troy Mann agreed with that. Best game in Belleville this year. Really appeared to be kind of getting his feet underneath him, as it were. And then Saturday, during the warm-up, and I don't know if it happened, there was a piece of video of Parker Kelly's deal. Parker Kelly
I hope not.
Parker Kelly is it's his thing in the warm-up to go around just bang into guys. Just not that bad, but just bang into guys. And he bangs into Logan Brown. Yeah. And then the next piece of video you see is Logan Brown standing over at the bench talking to the trainer, and he's kind of talking a little bit. He leaves the ice, and all of a sudden, he's scratched from the game on Saturday, and then he isn't quite ready to go. Scratched from the game yesterday. Yeah. It's just like, it just looks like it's one step forward and one step back for this guy as far as health goes.
Yeah, no, AJ said JR, and I thought, oh, he sent down goal and assist. Then you watch the clip and warm up, you're like, please don't happen. The only thing more embarrassing, not embarrassing, the only thing I've ever heard is Ray Whitney telling a story about Scotty Hartnell farting in the room before pregame warm up to the point that he threw up and had to miss the game. I thought, he tells
from the aroma?
Yeah, he tells a story.
It's that bad?
That he threw up. That he couldn't end up playing. So,
what?
I know.
Hang on. You've not told this story before.
I just heard it about a couple of months ago, and I can't remember what it related to. I'll try to find it.
He
but
threw up because the odor from someone farting?
Scott Hartnell.
And it wasn't sharding. It was farting.
Well, it could be, you know, because in a hockey sense, you know, but I'm assuming it had to be a bit greasy.
Wow.
I don't know if he had him pinned on the ground. And it's like, is that bench warmers where he farts on the face hammer?
Well,
hey, the kids movie?
No.
Hey? Or is that the one where the three are playing? No, it's bench warmers. Remember?
It's bench warmers.
The kid's son, right? He's pinned down. So, no. But it just was terrible, JR. Because
let's bring things back to Logan Brown.
I know. Okay. But the poor clip of him talking to the coach. And then you know with the way this is all gone, you're like, okay, do I go off the ice now? Or do I kind of try to pretend like all eyes are on you? What you need to be is in Utica on a Monday night where there's no video of anything happening, because as he said, it you know, and this is also, and again, I watched him play. There should be no shock in this, JR. He is not healthy. He is not strong. And this is a darn thing. And I dealt with players like Rick Tocchet and Yager and guys, these darn bad backs, right? Like anyone that's had the chronic stuff. But as you said, in the case of, yeah, it was just unfortunate. It's like, get the season over. And by all accounts, and listen to Pierre Dorion, I don't know if you agree on Friday, Boy, it sure sounds like they have every plan that he is part of the future and they're going to cart him back next year.
Let me read Pierre Dorion's comments on, this is from our interview here on TSN 1200 about Logan Brown. I didn't take it off, but where is it here? On Logan Brown, quote, I just think we're going to continue the path with him. He's a bigger guy, a talented guy. He still needs to get better, get stronger, get quicker. But overall, his pace wasn't bad against one of the faster teams in our division. They might not be as fast as Edmonton, but he handled the pace fine. For us, keep progressing, and next is the fourth year. The fourth year is the biggest year as a pro, and for him, it will be a big year.
Yeah.
End quote. That says nothing to me, but... you're coming back, Logan, whether you want to or not.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's what's been said. This had to be part of the thought of giving in the game at the NJR. You know, it's continuing to build it up because I think you talk to people. And for his play, they didn't think he deserved it, but it's a different circumstance. And, yeah, that is the case. Now, to Pierre Dorion's comment, so agree that there was always that theory when it comes to trades and comes to players is, like I said, in around that 23, 24, go back to Mika Zibanejad, go back to when they got Kyle Turris. That's that real careful part, right? Where, as you said, that 3 to 4 year, whether you're holding on to a player or flipping them out, that's when the switch can really go off. But boy, he's going to need one hell of a season. And more importantly, you would hate if he comes back, JR, is that he's playing decently. But that idea, and that's the other part that you hate, is guys that you don't know from day to day how they're going to be feeling or game to game. Hopefully you can solve this in what will still be, you know, it's 5 months basically until opening night that you can come back and not be, well, obviously he hasn't established himself. I mean, he's not going to play in the NHL, but, you know, that you can be completely healthy and give it a go. And, let's hope that happens for him.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but was the talk not from Logan Brown after last offseason that, and this wasn't just from him. Like, this was that he had had a really, and we hear this from everybody.
No,
he had
I
a
know.
Really good summer last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Going
for
into
sure.
Now, last summer and more last fall and into training camp in January. So the whole calendar was off for everybody.
Yeah.
But if, you know, my memory's not as good as it used to be, but I think it's still pretty good. Yeah. I remember that talk of Logan Brown really dedicated himself in the offseason down in St. Louis to being in great shape, and it's just been, unfortunately, another injury-plagued season for
him. And again, the Ottawa Senators, this is the other part, JR, looking at this, I know there's pressure points of being a higher pick. You know exactly what you're dealing with right now, so I kind of look at it and think, okay, I hear all kinds of things from people that I'm connected in Ottawa and hockey. They must feel there's something here, because I do also believe that this would be based on the fan base and based on what you have coming. Even Ridly Gregg, and you know, he's a boy, I'm talking a couple of years, but just overall, like I think it wouldn't be hard. Would you agree it wouldn't be hard to turn the page on Logan Brown right now? Like, if they flipped him out, I don't think that the fan base is fired up. So, you know, they must feel, for whatever reason, a pressure point to continue with the player. And like you said, you can only play that I had a really good offseason one time in your career. Do you know what I mean? Like, where I figured it out. Okay, well, if that was last year, and that was certainly for Colin White and other players, you know, Nick Paul did figure it out and come into training. And this is Logan Brown. I mean, this is so sincerely, JR. If you figured it out and you want to get healthy, and the shoulder injury was last year, now it's a back, well, get the back healthy and then roll into training camp like Nick Paul. Like, roll in and make a statement about where your fitness level is at, if you really mean that.
So we'll see if Logan Brown can get back in. Belleville does have two more games coming up this week. These are rescheduled games versus the Marlies Wednesday night, and then Thursday is a 4 o'clock game, and then that wraps up the season. These will be the last two games of the season, Belleville and Toronto. And, well, I guess from a team perspective, it'd be nice to go into the offseason having set a franchise record. If they can get the win on Wednesday night, that will be their eighth win in a row, which a team in the organization has never done before. And again, they're getting the scoring from the right players. You know, Igor Sokolov didn't get a goal yesterday, but just listening to part of the broadcast with AJ and Brad Smith yesterday, he's making defensive plays too. Like, that kid is all over the ice and doing nothing but making a really good impression at the end of his first year.
Yeah, and he works his ass off, JR. You know, those first couple of steps, he's a bit of a knee skater. It's not pretty at times, but all you can ask is hustle. And then based on off-ice training and other things, we know he has improved. He can improve. Look at Mark Stone. I'm saying
He's no worse a skater than. In fact, he's a better skater than Mark Stone.
Oh, absolutely worse. And that big body. Now, I've seen at times where he's turning in straight line without a doubt. We'll see laterally, but I'm excited for training camp next year because Guy Latundras, before he got heavy, like that was exactly that, where he came into Montreal. He was so good in a straight line when fit, when at it. And this guy just seems like a really hungry hockey player. I'm excited for training camp next year. This is, again, another one of those. Go back to the first and second round last year. We're talking about six picks. And as we sit here today, it feels like all you mentioned Klevin, you know, go to Sokolov, go to Greg, go to Yarvente, of course, Sanderson and Stützle. What more could you ask for? Like, it looks like as we trend almost a year, not a year later, but a year in the hockey, that all six of those players are going to play in the National Hockey League.
And Marilainen, the Finnish goalie, looks like he's going to be the world junior goalie for Finland next year. He had a real good year in the Finnish second league or junior league, I guess.
And by the time you pan out of a top 10 pick or whatever is this year and too early in the second round, that's all I ask from my scouting staff, JR. If you can hit, first of all, in the first round, you need to. But early second round or second round picks, well, anything after that, you're just into full bonus land, right? You're first and second. You give me that every single year, including three more this year. That system is going to be loaded up nicely.
The numbers over the years, and there's people that have studied draft picks before. Once you get after about the 20th pick in the first round, it really starts to fall off in terms of guys that make the NHL and how many games they end up playing. Like 20 on seems to be kind of a demarcation line.
For sure.
And the Sens had the two high picks, and you absolutely have to nail them, and it looks like they did with Stützle and Sanderson. So then you're talking about five guys they drafted from 20 through to 70. Five guys they we'll see. They won't all probably pan out, but early indications from those five is that they've got five real good prospects.
Yeah, very much so. And also to your point, you know what, if you have one year where you draft a Formanton and it never happens, like years ago, Eric Dazé in a fourth round when you drafted Lecomte, to me, that's almost dumb luck. When you do it year after year and you start to see a wave come to the National Hockey League and quickly you have to replenish your American Hockey League team. Look at that between Yarvente. Unfortunately, Ridley Gregg can't play next year, nor can Randy. You're replenishing that in a hurry here, and that's exactly what you need from your amateur staff in whatever phase of whatever build you're in. Give me more assets.
All right, 925. Thoughts on any of that? Always welcome. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200. We'll come back. We'll get the thoughts of Pierre Dorion, a couple of other things he had to talk about on Friday, specifically talking about signing young players. Of course, Brady Tkachuk and Drake Batherson being at the top of the list. So we'll hear from Pierre Dorion. We'll talk more about the playoffs from the weekend, a look ahead to the games tonight, and a look ahead to the NBA playoffs as well. It is a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 9:32. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. You know, there was a day, kids, and again, this year notwithstanding, we've just started the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is not a typical year. Typically, playoffs begin about mid-April, so we're just through kind of mid-May, so we'd be, into the latter stages of round two, probably? It's about 2 weeks per round, be kind of ending round two just about in a typical hockey season, and hopefully next year it will be a typical hockey season. But there was a time, kids, when they are actually wrapping up the Stanley Cup final at this time of year, and it's not ancient history. It's not JR shaking the cobwebs back 4 score and 9,000 years ago. Let's take you back to this day in 1991. Mm. That's 30 years ago. It is game two of the Stanley Cup Final. The Minnesota North Stars have taken game one over the heavily favored Pittsburgh Penguins. It is game two and one of the most memorable goals in Stanley Cup playoff history.
Here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux.
There you go. Maybe that goal, first of all, a spectacular goal, but Bob Cole's is the cherry on top with a, Mario Lemieux going pretty much end-to-end. Sean Chambers and who's the other mini defenseman back there that were caught fishing? I don't remember. Anyway, whoever it was, they got undressed. So did John Casey, the Minnesota goaltender, and Mario Lemieux's spectacular goal which got the Penguins on their way to winning the game and eventually the series.
Yeah, now you're having me flashed here. I'm trying to think of the defense, Jimmy Johnson or Dahlquist. It was kind of an unknown, and even for Sean, not a well-known player. Won a cup with the Devils. We had him in Washington and then walks around John Casey. And you're right. Now, my memory of a kid would have been Mother's Day, would have been the Rangers and Montreal kicking off the final. Or I think Bobby Nystrom was what, Memorial Day weekend, right, when he scored the winner against Philadelphia. Then you have that one right there. Was in good old Cancun on vacation, and yeah, I kind of like the way it wrapped up. Now, go back to 2012-13. This would have been around the time that Ottawa and Montreal kicked off their play series because of the lockout. Boy, that was fun that year, JR, going to Montreal, and it was gorgeous out, and being here, and I think from a Canadian side, that nice weather when you're out at the CTC. Certainly loved the timing of it versus what normally starts in April.
On this day in 1983, the New York Islanders wrapped up their fourth consecutive Stanley Cup victory overall, yeah, beating the Edmonton Oilers 4-2 to complete a four-game sweep. And, of course, that would be the end of the Islanders dynasty. We have not seen a team go more than two in a row since the Islanders went four in a row in 1983. The way the world works now in the NHL with salary caps and unrestricted free agency at 27. Do you think we'll ever see a team that will go more than, let's say, even two in a row?
Yeah,
anymore?
I'd be pretty shocked, JR. When you look at Tampa, where they're at, and even back to Pittsburgh, maybe Chicago, I think Tampa Bay had the window and has the window. But I think it also just speaks to the parity in the National Hockey League and how difficult it is to repeat. So I think Tampa Bay, previous to last year, they were in a position for a number of years to win a cup. They couldn't, but I don't think we're going to see it happen again. Your track is maximum, 5 to 7 years for the real core? And as I said, Tampa Bay's done a nice job, but it's just too hard to win. And I don't even know what to recover in the summertime to come back now and do a full 82 games and do a full playoff. I think for a lot of guys, once I got that one Stanley Cup, I feel pretty darn good about myself.
I just looked at Tampa Bay for next year in terms of they're already projected $5 million over the cap next year. Over the cap, $5 million over the cap. Among the players who will be unrestricted free agents, we talked about the impact that Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow made on that team when they acquired them last year, and they paid significant prices. They paid first round draft picks. Yeah. For those two players. Now, what they got was 2 years at a very low dollar. Those guys are both, very much under what they should be paid. They're going to get paid coming out of their next. So unlikely it would seem, unless they end up trading some players, that Tampa Bay is going to be able to retain those two players. And just kind of going down the list, I mean, every year they kind of cycle back. They've done what the Leafs have done with older players, like the Luke Shens of the world, right? Yeah. They bring these guys in at minimal dollars. Guys toward the middle or end of their career that, made decent money and now want to take a run at a cup. But again, and this is what it's going to come back to. Are they willing to, let's say, attach a first-round pick to get Seattle to take Tyler Johnson off their hands and remove that $5 million going forward?
Yeah.
It is going to be, they had to tap dance this past year to get around over the salary cap and stretch the truth as far as Nikita Kucherov goes. They played the system as it's, it's designed to be able to do, and they're going to have to do it again this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, not like they didn't have to pay the player, although I guess insurance could have kicked in, JR. But hey, do you separate and do you go to Stamkos? Some rumors they did last year. Then when it gets to drafting, you got to draft so well continuing. And when you gave up those first-round picks, you gave up a prospect like Foot. So what's in the system? Now, what they do have going for them is that it's a very favorable place to play. And guys like Bogosian last year, guys will slide in there for minimal dollars, but at some point it dries up. And then this year, I mean, the real squeeze overall, and he's been terrific, but Vasilevsky came off a favorable contract and is what now, $9.5 million? So those little things, I mean, it just slowly you run out of track, your players start to get worn down, all of a sudden the depth is gone. But generally, like I said, they've done a pretty darn good job. But as you say, I think people have done it, but if you went back and did the Islanders team that had the 4 years, or more importantly the Edmonton teams, they didn't have a salary cap and they couldn't keep it together, right? Yeah. I mean, that was an ownership issue. But for the Islanders, what would you have paid for that team? And more importantly, for the Oilers, how long? Even to 1990, I assume every single player's gone, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, 939, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Do you agree with signing Artem Zub to just a two-year contract? It's a simple yay, perfect length, or a nay, which is should be longer. We had a good debate about that earlier this morning. It's 61-39 right now with the yeses, which surprises me. Yes, it's the perfect length. And I want to kind of circle back to my point. You think it's a bad contract for Ottawa. Should have been longer. And I am not disagreeing that would it be ideal for them to sign him to a longer contract? Absolutely. I think the 5 years is too long.
Okay.
Because I don't consider Zub to be a core player. Like I look at Zub on the Ottawa defense, like I look at Connor Brown amongst the forwards, which is a real key complementary player.
Yeah.
I don't think Artem Zub will be. For what they have right now, is he a core player? Yes, but I think going forward, he's outside of the core players for me. Okay. So that's why, for me, extending him to 5 years is probably more than I would want to do.
And if that is the case, then, you know, totally understand. I personally think he's as good as Mark Methot. He doesn't have Erik Karlsson. He's a top four right shot defenseman that can shut down things down. He is your best defender. So that's not sexy, JR, but I put a ton of value, not just in value, and I know there's some players coming, but I also just understand how darn hard it is to find, right? So that's where I'm looking at. I'm so bullish on the player, and I think versus the whole Zaitsev argument, I think the best is yet to come. So let's fast forward to next year and see how his season goes. You know, I'm just really, I know how hard it is to find players, and I watched him this year, and I was shocked, JR. Like, he was that good of a defender.
Your enthusiasm from Artem Zub pales in comparison to Jim, one of our listeners, who has texted me throughout the weekend saying how dumb I am on my take, has back in a re-Zub from the Hour 1 debate. Simmer nails it, except he will be offered $6 million times 6 years in a couple of years. JR is making ridiculous arguments. JR obviously doesn't have a clue how good this player is and can be. That comes from Jim.
And Jim, this is when you go into a war room, JR, and I'll say this about society, and I'm not saying this because you're my boss. I respect you. I just like to have fun conversations. I don't like comments on the weekend. Not that it's a big deal. Someone had put out a fun thing, said, oh, they should hire Simmer for the front office. Some guy tags me and says, well, he got fired in Washington and Toronto and he made the rash trade. It's like, okay, whatever, bud. I mean, we're just having fun here. I didn't pick the Leafs to win the first round. Like, that's the reason you're in the media. These conversations are healthy and fun. And what debate to me has always been the biggest key. Two things. You respect the other person's opinion, but it brings more thought. Like when we tweeted on the weekend, then to me, I get thinking about other things. That's why in a war room, it's so important that everybody is comfortable to give an opinion. And you go through these things and you come up with points and you say, okay, boy, that guy didn't look at it that way. Or you continue along and try to think things to back up yourself. But, you know, I think for people right now, maybe I'm just soft now, kind of where I've been at and where the world's at. It's just healthy debate. It's not that one person loves a player or hates a player. We're just trying to have some healthy discussions here. And I really love the player, Jerry. I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And when I look at what he's capable of doing, to me, it's not, like I said, I don't see any different than him and Mark Methot, other than Mark had Karlsson. And this isn't anything to take away from Mark Methot. But those types of players, man, oh, man, to find him. And like I also think, I'm not talking about a plugger or, you know, an old school player. When I watched some of the things that he did, there was a backport door pass late in the season. Yep. There was a goal against Toronto. I do think he's capable of 30 points. He makes a hell of a first pass. And like I said, flat out at the end of the day, he's your best defender. I just wish he was locked in because I know we say circle back. But I'm nervous that in a couple of years, like I said, 27 years old, man, that's hard to find those types of players. And I'll go back to a guy like Nate Schmidt makes $5.9 million. Yeah. Like, you know, there's not many of them.
I'll just say from Ottawa's perspective, and we'll see if it all pans out. They got a lot of young players they have to sign. Sure. You know, it's important that you allocate your dollars correctly.
Yeah.
You can't afford to make any mistakes. And I know you feel like 100% sold on this player.
Yeah.
And I'm most of the way with you. But man, if we get up to $5 million a year for a player, again, who's not going to be, he's not going to be the number one guy in your power play. So he's not going to, he's going to generate decent points. You think 30 points, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's good. Again, you're talking about if you want to keep the core of this team together and maybe you consider him to be one of the core pieces in this. Right now you've got, Tkachuk, Batherson, Norris, Stützle, Shabbat is already signed.
Yeah.
You got Murray in here, whether you like it or not, at $6 million per year, and you got Jake Sanderson, who at the end of next year is probably going to burn a year in his contract, right? So he'll have 2 years left. We'll see what he ends up being, if he's a big points guy gets paid out of his rookie. We don't know that.
Yeah.
But those five players I named, plus Matt Murray, are going to suck up a lot of money going forward. So the rest of your dollars, you got to be very careful how you allocate those dollars.
Yeah, and
otherwise, you end up pricing yourself out of one of the guys who is the key core pieces.
Without a doubt, and then I'll slide over, and Dadanov will go off the books, that's fine, but certainly to White, and I'm nervous about Murray, JR. See, I would look at this going forward is that, first of all, as it become a good team, if I do hold on to him, now I'm going to have to overpay in my estimation. Now, he may not want the contract, so it's a moot point, but if you said to me you could go 5 and even 6 years at $4 million right now, I would take that. My theory and thought as I go forward, two seasons from now, an opening night, if you said to me that Bernhard Docker with Shabbat is number one and Sanderson and Zub is number two, I think you got an opportunity, and on a nightly basis, to get Shabbat away from the best team's players, because I don't think defensively he's ever going to be a star. I feel like Sanderson and Zub could lock it down and be part of a Stanley Cup contending team. That's the way I kind of have a vision of where this will end up being. So that's where I kind of look at it and say, wow, that would be a real special pairing. And such a compliment to a first-year player to have stabilized Riley, who's gone on to Boston, played well. But Brännström's game when he played with Zub in comparison to the other players, JR, was just night and day, you know, for where he's at. So that's kind of my look at it.
Here is Pierre Dorion from Friday and his conversation with Steve Lloyd and Steve Bunda on In the Box about signing young players here in Ottawa.
We've got a lot of young players that we're going to have to sign, that we hope to sign to coming out of entry level to you know, contracts with some term on them, in Tkachuk, in Stützle, in Norris, in Batherson. You're also looking at possibly in a few years from now, Sanderson, Pinto. So to sign all these guys, they're not gonna sign qualifying offers of $925. And we all know where the restricted free agent market is going. If you look at all the comparables, so in doing this, we have to think, in every contract we do moving forward, we have to think about making sure we can keep all our young stars, for cap reasons more than anything.
There you go. There's Pierre Dorion's comments. And again, you can hear the interview in its entirety. There's lots of good stuff in there, by the way, from the Sens GM on our website at tsn1200.ca. But that is part of the dance that they're going to... It's a nice problem to have when you have a lot of good young players, and you're going to have to pay, in all probability, pretty significant dollars for all of them. That's what you like to do. You want to have good players. That's how you're eventually going to win the Stanley Cup, but it becomes... Yeah. You know, it becomes a delicate balancing act regarding being able to fit in as many as you can for as long as you can to keep your Stanley Cup winning window open for as long as you can.
Yeah, for sure, JR. And I'm not behind the scenes. I look at Zub, $1.75 million for next year, whatever budget you're afforded. Have you been squeezed by Dadanov, Tierney, and White, making almost $15 million? Is that part of why you went down that road? So I'm not there. Don't know what the budgets are. Don't know what you're spending. Don't know what always the rationale is.
And what the player wants.
For sure. And right. I understand that you want to sign all your guys out of an entry level. Well, you can't afford in the case of, and I'm not even saying a one-off. You just said, at the time where Colin White is at, you couldn't have afforded to make that mistake early on, Jared. It's just not a good, $5 million for that for 6 years, you know, that unfortunately is going to squeeze you at some point.
All right. So thoughts on any of that, always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN at 1200. One other note should mention, just announced by NHL Player Safety in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers has been called to a hearing, or is having a hearing regarding a check from behind in last night's game on Anthony Duclair. He ended up taking a penalty on the play and was in the penalty box when Tampa Bay scored the game-tying goal. He was known in Calgary as Playoff Sam. He was also known for taking a lot of bad penalties in his time. That was a very inopportune penalty that Sam Bennett took last night, so he will have a hearing with player safety. And we'll see if he ends up getting a suspension and an NHL playoff game or not. Key player for Florida.
Yeah, it was a real emotional game, too. And you can feel, and another one of those players, JR, you can see a new lease on life, right? I wouldn't even know that's the same player. Now, for Calgary, you always came playoff time, but He looks like him. Boy, they've Billy Zito's done a real nice job there. Almost every acquisition has turned them into a whole different hockey team.
All right, we'll take a break. 9:49. We'll come back with a final segment, do a little bit of this, more of this day in sports history, and celebrate some sports birthdays as well. Before we turn things over to the boys, coming up on In the Box after 10 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
It's time for another TSN 1200 Sens Jersey Monday code word.
It is. You got 10 minutes to get the following word into us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. The word is schedule or schedule, depending on where you're from in Ontario. S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E, singular. Schedule is the word we need. Text us in the next 10 minutes to 12-1200, and you will be into the grand prize draw coming up tomorrow morning with Simmer and I for your brand new customized Sens black home jersey. It's a beauty. We'll do it up however you want. Whatever name, whatever number you want on the back, be it your own name or your favorite Ottawa Senator. Maybe it's Artem Zub. That will save a little bit on with two and three letters. It'll save a little bit of money on the customizing. Hey, but it's all we'll go Bernard Docker if you want. Is that the longest name on the Sens right now? I would have to think pretty darn close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bernard, that's 7-8 with the dash, and then that's 14 long. We're into some serious dollars.
You're
right
in
now.
The John Van Beesbrook territory.
Exactly. That's going shoulder to shoulder and down a bit. Yeah. All right. So schedule is what you need. Text us that word at 12-1200 in the next 10 minutes. All right, I think I said that Sam Bennett, and many people were on text right away, said that that he checked Anthony Duclair. Of course, that's his teammate. He would not have done that. Yeah. He checked Blake Coleman, who had checked Anthony Duclair. So it was a retaliatory thing. So, again, I got my got my players mixed up.
And
sorry.
As you mentioned, Jared, that's what I wondered. Now, I didn't see that later hit, but, boy, the hit on Duclair early in the game, I don't know. It's so darn hard. But if you wanted to talk about textbook checking from behind, Duclair down for a bit, came back. Anyways, hard to understand the consistency from the National Hockey League.
Morning, JR and Simmer writes, Matt, great debate from both of you about Zub's contract being a flat cap era and trying not to get too far ahead. I think 2 years is fine. Would we all like more Zub? Yes, based on the 40-plus games we've seen, but we also don't want a Zaitsev situation on our hands when the Leafs overpaid him 7 times 4.5 after one decent year in blue and white, getting 36 points in 82 games. His 2 years after were lackluster, and his 2 years in Ottawa have him playing above where he should be. But the common debate is high dollars and term. He entered the league and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm not unhappy with it, writes Matt.
Matt, I don't really understand. It's not, just please separate any stuff like that. I have no idea. Zaitsev was minus 22. Most people at that time, this year, if you tracked a full season, I'd say 25 to 30 points for Zuby was a plus player on a team. Zaitsev was never a defender like that. It was also mass chaos. Now, I think there are lots of moving parts with Zaitsev and his time in Toronto off the ice, JR, that happened as well. But like I said, don't use, Colin White's under you for 6 years. Don't sign Batherson. If you don't like Zub or you think the contract's fine, that's fine. But I don't see any parallel whatsoever to Zaitsev. I mean, you're looking to, and this is my opinion, other people have different opinions. From what I've seen of the player after watching for a whole year, I'm crazy bullish on him. But there's no rush. People, and it's a Russian thing or whatever, there's no reason to tie the two together. They're not even the same player. And right now, Zub is the better hockey player.
All right. This day in sports history. Got to give a shout-out to my friends over with the Gatineau Olympique, because it was on this day 24 years ago, 1997, the Hull Olympique beat Lethbridge 5-1 to win their first Memorial Cup on this day. Christian Dubé was the leading scorer in the tournament with 13 points, 6 goals, and 7 assists. So congratulations to Dos Olympiques for their 24th anniversary of their Memorial Cup win.
Yeah, and previous to that would have gone to Memorial Cup in 85 with Pat Burns. Would Claude Julien, I'm assuming, been the coach?
Think
had
so.
That long list of, and man, they had just one hell of a program under Charlie Henry at the time. And yeah, it was a great win for Les Olympiques.
On this day in 2017, we'll remember this game well with the Ottawa Senators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was game three of the Eastern Conference Final. They beat the Penguins 5-1. Remember, they got 4 goals in the first 12 minutes of the game and drove Marc-Andre Fleury from the net. Matt Murray comes in, and the rest, as they say, is history. Is it fair to say that if Pittsburgh doesn't have a quality alternative, in other words, if Marc-Andre Fleury ends up having to be the guy if they have to stick with him, that Ottawa wins this series, in your opinion?
It sure felt like it was trending that way, JR. And, man, seems like yesterday for Game 3. I remember when Murray hopped in and I thought it was Ken Dryden combined with Andre the Giant. He looked so big in the net, and you're like, no way they're going to do it. But what was also interesting, I think it was leading up to Game 4. Ian and I were doing the broadcast out front of the game, and I think we actually had Eugene Melnyk on. But at that time, every Pittsburgh reporter, either after Game 3 or leading into, was incredibly bullish on, this is Marc-Andre Fleury's series. There's no way Sullivan's going to switch him out. He won the first two rounds. It's his to lose. And Sullivan made that move to say, nope. I know he's popular. They put Murray in. I remember at the time when they won Game 4 said, hey, good on you. So, no, I think that's a very valid argument for where it was headed at that point. And I remember watching Game 4. I headed home after the pregame show. Remember Craig Anderson let in a couple of leakers in Game 4?
In the first period?
Yeah, there was a real awkward one from almost the sideboards, and it just felt like it started to, well, it didn't unravel. They went to a Game 7, but certainly was a turning point in the series.
All right, that was 4 years ago today. Quickly on sports birthdays, Sugar Ray Leonard is 65 today.
Wow.
And then a lot of people with hockey people with Ottawa connections. Jimmy Fox, the former 67, is 61. Yeah. John Chabot, great guy from the area, is 59.
Absolutely. Okay.
DeGovins is 33.
Okay.
Chris Drieger, drafted by the Sens. We'll see if Florida puts him in net for game two. He is 27. And Doug Smith, Ottawa guy, second overall draft pick in the 81 draft to the LA Kings. Doug Smith turns 58 years old today. So happy birthday to all of those guys and to you if you're celebrating on this May the 17th.
Yeah, and Dougie, very inspirational and changes in life, went through the broken neck and do wonder for this summer, JR, on the free agent market. Mr. Drieger at 27 years old, probably going to do quite well for himself. Interested to see the term and money he reels in.
Well, you have to think about teams that are looking for goalies, right? I would think Edmonton potentially, maybe they like what they've seen. But I mean, Mike Smith is not the long term answer. So whether they look there, or a lot of people just think Seattle, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll see. All right, that'll wrap it up for us. Don't forget, three more NHL playoff games coming up tonight: Boston, Washington,